Ah, finally.
Back in the studio.
Magic scepter.
Welcome to Conversations with Friends, a space for slow, unplanned, and deeply human conversations. I'm Linda, a German in my early 30s, a traveler who has spent more than 5 years exploring the world. And I'm talking to my friend Marco, an Italian in his late 60s, an artist who chose a simple life on the beautiful island of La Gomera after living many different lives across the world. Two friends from different generations, different worlds, coming together to explore what it means to be alive, curious, and connected. We couldn't be more different, and that's exactly why we meet here, as friends across generations to share our thoughts, questions, and stories. Nothing is scripted. We don't know where the conversation will lead, only that it will be real, honest, and rooted in what moves us. This is Conversations with Friends. Welcome back to our second episode.
Thank you very much, Linda Lou.
So, how do you feel after our first episode, after our last conversation?
Chilled.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yesterday, after we completed, as you know, because we spent some time talking about it, I was a little uneasy about some of the things, but I'm not anymore.
Great.
In the sense that I realize that talking about oneself is always going to stir up stuff. And that, you know, it makes you vulnerable. And that your judgment afterwards is a bit confused about what you said.
Yeah.
It's not clear. It's just a reaction to feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I decided, screw it. It's good the way it is.
Yeah. It's interesting how the pure fact of knowing that other people might listen to it changes it, right?
Yes, it's exactly it. I thought, oh my God, what if this guy hears me say that? He knows what a terrible leader I was, you know.
And now talking
about And here leadership. I am talking about leadership. Oh, no, no, no. Let's erase that topic.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Whoever listens to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had some more time for this process because I've been on social media for some years already. Yeah. I'm hosting podcasts for some years already. And in the beginning, I could totally see this where I was afraid. What would people think of me if they would listen to it? Especially also people that know me. Yeah. But also people that don't know me. And in the beginning, I could see myself not talking like super openly about things or not sharing my pure thoughts because of the fear of, people judging me. But then I also realized the more open you talk, the more people can connect with it. And sure, they can be like, they can think about you that what you said was wrong or it's not their opinion. But I'm always there for discussion and dialogue. But also people can connect to you.
Yes. Yes. Although you did tell me that there was one time when you were sensitive about somebody in particular listening to your podcast and you didn't feel comfortable about it. And it took a while, but then you let it go.
It took a while, but also I changed something about it, right? I had this podcast. It was open for everyone to listen. I knew there was a person listening that I didn't want to listen to, that wouldn't respect my boundary. And so I made it a private podcast that not everyone could listen to. And it stayed like this for quite a long time, I think like 8-9 months. But then at some point I overcame the situation and I could see that...
You stopped caring.
Yeah, I stopped caring and I started caring more for other people.
Yeah.
I didn't care so much about this one person that I didn't want to listen to the podcast. I cared more about all the people that could not listen to the podcast because it was private. And then it became a bigger goal for me that these people could access the podcast. And when I opened it again, the feedback was so great
because people were really grateful. And now I totally overcame this fear. I'm not afraid anymore. But also maybe because I'm more comfortable with myself now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that... you got to get used to the degree of vulnerability that this requires.
Yeah.
Because we've chosen to make this podcast extremely personal.
Yes.
You know, we're not teaching lessons on
math
or something. And so... we have to be prepared to let it happen, warts and all, mm-hmm. as they say. The shadow and the light.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that it shines a light on the shadow.
Yeah.
By virtue of doing this, you become more aware of the shadows. But you can't freak out about it. You have to see it for what it is. So, all in all, I'm chill.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. How, in general, do you deal with just the fact of people might talk about you? Because also looking at your life story, there have been so many different chapters, and you closed so many different chapters. There were so many turnaround points where you decided to do something completely different, like... going from leading a spiritual community to going full-time into, like, CEO work.
Well, I wasn't CEO from the start.
True,
just
but
at the end.
It built up, right? Yeah. Like, you went from
into
the community
tech.
To a career in tech.
Yes,
and then quit this and went on this tiny island for painting.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that a lot of people are looking at you that you met in the different chapters of your life, and they probably talk about you or have an opinion about you. How do you deal with that?
Bah. people will have an opinion about you regardless whether you start things or don't start things or change things or don't change things. People have opinions.
Mm.
And people's opinions cannot be so important to yourself as to limit you. That's the way I see it anyway. Otherwise, that's handing over your power to, what, public opinion? Society at large?
Yeah,
that can never be... the reason why you do or don't do something because of what someone else thinks.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, have trained myself as much as possible, as much as I can see, and it's always growing, but I've trained myself to follow my heart and my integrity as far as possible. Meaning, does this hurt anybody? If it hurts somebody, well, then don't do it. But if it's just me going to an island, deciding to go to an island, then I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't see how this should create major ripples in anybody else's life.
Yeah.
And if it does, then they need to...
look into it.
Look into it, exactly. So, I mean, even though the lifestyle I lead now raises eyebrows.
I can imagine.
Around me. But I try to handle it without reacting to the eyebrow movements. Also understanding that because I'm living in a different way with slightly different values, maybe, that it's different, and anything different from the acceptable and accepted norms is going to raise eyebrows, and I can't judge them for being judgmental of me. Because the majority of people will do that. I was lucky. I lived in many different countries. I saw different realities, different lifestyles, different ways of doing things. So I became more accustomed to the fact that people are different. And they should be allowed to be that way. So it's okay. People will have their opinions. C'est la vie.
Yeah, so their opinions are not a reason for you to not do what you want to do?
Absolutely not. I mean, that would be failure and defeat as far as I see it.
Yeah, I see it the same way. And I've also always followed my heart. Sometimes it's a bit hard to see the reactions, especially if I see someone is hurt by my decisions, even though I can also see that it's also their responsibility, because I can't live my life for someone else. But still, sometimes it hurts to see people being hurt from my decisions.
That's for sure.
But I think there are so many people who just don't follow their dreams because of thoughts like, what will my family think about me? Or will I let someone down? Or what if it doesn't work out?
Yeah.
For example.
Yes. It's not as if I am absolved from feeling those things. I do feel them.
Yeah.
I just think that we have one shot at this. You know, and ultimately, each one of us has to follow his star, his or her star. That, regardless how foolish it might look, otherwise, what's the point of it all?
Yeah, that's true.
You know. To be popular?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be a worthy goal. Or to be the one who never creates ripples? I guess the danger is when you want to deliberately create ripples. In other words, if you go out to do something to deliberately upset people, that's another story. You know, but if you're just hanging out, painting, and going to the beach, I'm not sure what harm you can possibly create.
That's true. Yeah. I remember a situation. It was probably like 3 years ago, probably before I came to this island for the first time and before we even met. And I was invited. I was in Germany for a visit. I was already traveling for, I think, 3 years. But I was in Germany to visit friends and family. And I was on this barbecue with some friends and friends of friends. And it was a time when I was working as a couples counselor and psychologist, and I had just published my second book, and I was traveling, but I was still full in this like career mode sort of. And we were sitting around the table and just talked, and somehow I said something like, oh, for my life I could also imagine just living in a cave and painting stones all day. And everyone laughed at the table. Like, they didn't laugh at me, but they just found this thought so funny of someone sitting in a cave and painting stones. But I was so serious. I was like, I don't know how, but I'm sure at some point there will be a phase in my life like that. And then it was funny because I came to this island and I was house sitting and I had a lot of time and I started painting stones and I sort of became like closer and closer to this version of myself. And now, a few years later, I'm not actually sitting in a cave painting stones, but my lifestyle now is going towards this of like working less, not taking things so serious, enjoying life more, enjoying the simple life. And this friend that invited me for the barbecue, she just called me a few days ago and we talked about how I spent my time and how I spent my days. Mm. And I told her that I'm so free in spending my time. I almost don't have any appointments and I can do whatever I want. And I told her about how I'm going to the beach and reading my book and just enjoying my days. Mm. And then she said, the life you're living right now is so close to this vision you had of sitting in a cave painting stones. And she still remembered it. And we laughed a bit about it, but it truly makes me really happy to find out this is possible, even if you tell it in a normal social situation, let's say where everyone is so dedicated to their work, people will just laugh at it and see it as impossible or see it as something totally crazy. And then realizing I'm still like a normal, not normal, whatever person, but I found ways to live more and more like that. Mm. And sometimes I realize that people are talking behind my back, like, for example, people I studied with, and now they see what they're doing, and now they see what I'm doing, and my life is so public because I post on social media, so even if I didn't talk to them in, like, 8 years, they can still see what I'm doing, at least this part that I'm showing. But I always get this feeling that if people talk about me behind my back, and especially if they're like kind of obsessed with it, where other people come up to me and they're like, do you know that this person is constantly talking about you and what you're doing? Stuff like this. I always have this feeling this person truly wants to live like I do. If there wasn't this need, maybe not exactly like I do, but if there wasn't an interest, if there wasn't a need, it wouldn't take up so much space for them. They wouldn't even have the need to talk about me like this. And I could also see this earlier in my life when I was like, when I did envy someone, I also sort of got obsessed and I needed to make them smaller and talk shit about them because otherwise, I would have had to realize that this is what I actually want, or at least this is the direction I want to go. And since I started going the direction I truly want to go, I don't have this wish anymore. I don't have this need anymore. I don't need to talk shit about people because I'm living the life I want and I can accept sort of every life that someone else wants to live as long as I get the feeling it's truly what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a word for that emotion that you described. I think it's envy.
Mm.
When you envy somebody, for whatever reason, they have what you want, or you think you want, or you think they have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a horrible, horrible feeling, actually, I think.
I also thought like this, and then I read, it was like a poem and it was about emotions and it went through different emotions and how you can also use them for yourself if you transform them. And it said, if you're feeling envious, transform it into inspiration so that you don't envy the person, but you get inspired by it. Because if one person got to a point where they have something, do something that you envy, you could be inspired by them because you can have it too. And this really made myself being friends with this emotion. Because before I was sort of ashamed of feeling this emotion.
Yeah.
Because it's so clearly not a good emotion, not an emotion you want to feel. But since I read this, I realized this is such a, it's an emotion full of potential.
Yeah, I think that's a very creative way to turn the story around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there something that you envy?
I was thinking about it just as you were talking. It's usually someone that one envies. I guess that I envy I envy somebody who, or I would envy somebody who has attained a degree of peace of mind and self-fulfillment that I'm yet aspiring to.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody who has developed the kind of superpowers, I'll call them that, that I aspire to. Things like the shamanic arts.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, the capacity to bring healing to people.
Mm.
Whether through natural substances or sometimes just through their presence.
Mm.
But they're inspirational more than anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I aspire to something that, some things that I'm not quite capable of doing yet, or mm-hmm. but that I sense of potentials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you envious of any materialistic things now that you chose a life that is so free of?
That yes. is a clear no. I do not envy anybody who has a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. No. I just never crosses my mind that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has it been different when you still had your place in the material world, sort of having a career and
was
stuff?
Was it different then? To some degree, because in the corporate world, the fun is in climbing the ladder and getting to the top.
Mm-hmm.
As you climb it, you realize there isn't a top. It just keeps on going, keeps mm-hmm. on going, and keeps on going. But it, while you're climbing, the fun is to get promoted to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I saw people at those levels, and there was a sense of maybe I can do that, you know, maybe I can be like that, maybe one day I can also. But it wasn't so much because of what they had. It was because of their status, maybe, mm-hmm. because of the power that I imagined they had,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't the possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been into things.
Yeah.
No. Even when I was earning a lot of money, for me it was a bit like collecting stamps. You know, it's accumulating stuff, but mm. there was no, I didn't see it as being of any consequence whatsoever.
Mm.
That's the thing. I just couldn't give it value.
Mm.
And that's been true from when I was a child.
Mm.
It's not something I had to work on. It's part of my personality. Mm. Just born like that. But power, yeah, I've been hungry for power.
In what sense, power?
I don't know if this will sound extremely strange, but the kind of power that I call power is not the power wielded by a major politician or a great businessman. To me, power is that intangible quality, an intangible quality that you carry around you, which changes things. You can enter a room and the atmosphere changes
mm.
because this person has entered. Or things rearrange around certain people. It's an emanation of force. It's not something that they decide on usually. It's a benign power. It's not a manipulative power. It's not something that can be corrupted. It's a power that is accumulated through good living over time. I can't describe it. You know, like the Dalai Lama would have quite a bit of that. In fact, I've spoken to people who have met or have been in the presence of the Dalai Lama and were incredibly impacted. I don't quite get it because I haven't met him. Mm-hmm. And when I hear him talk, you know, say a few things on the internet, as wise as it might be, it doesn't bowl me over and say, oh my God, oh wow. He's kind of humble. Mm-hmm. That's his power. And mm-hmm. funny and lighthearted. But apparently his presence is quite something to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's the kind of power that I've always aspired to, been hungry for. It's something that gives order to the world without really trying. It's magic.
Mm-hmm.
I like magic. I think I like magic more than the three-dimensional world of things, you know, the invisible reality mm-hmm. is more real to me than the physical one.
Do you mean also like energy?
Yeah.
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 And aura and stuff like this?
And stuff like that, and atmosphere, and the quality of the person. Like, that's what I love about being with you, is that you are genuine. And as much as possible, you're true to yourself, as you know how to do it. You're authentic. To me, that is what builds character. In a person, and that character transforms into that power that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Over time, it does. And so the person doesn't needs to do less and less, because the invisible part of him clears the way, makes things happen. He doesn't have to worry about it. Attracts the right things to him or her.
And do you think this power exists within us even when we're alone? Or do you think it only exists in a social context where we enter a room and we can feel the effect on other people?
Right. I think you put it well. In other words, like, any power requires something, some substance that the power impacts in order to see its effects. But somebody who wields that power, who naturally doesn't need to see it. It's not as if his ego is gratified because he has that power. If it was the case, then the power would vanish.
Yeah.
So solitude actually assists and helps in the development of that power, because it gives you time to ponder about a variety of things that otherwise you're distracted from by events or other people, etc. It's like your friend who needs to go to her cabin every now and then. Spend time alone. You know, that kind of solitude is, we we underestimate its value, generally speaking, in society. It's part of becoming friends with ourselves.
Mm.
It requires that solitude. It's when, you know, you've described it to me sometimes that you're a bit uncomfortable you get a little bit uncomfortable on some evenings when you're alone.
But that's, I think, especially because I spend so much time alone. But yeah, I can feel this sometimes.
Yeah, but I am postulating, and I'm not sure I'm right, but I'm postulating that because you're alone, you're brought up against feelings and limitations that are not so comfortable to look at. But that's when you generate that power.
Yeah.
Is exactly by incorporating, absorbing, embracing those parts of yourself that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I think that you've been here how long now? 2 months?
Yeah, around 2 months.
About 2 months?
Yeah.
And I've seen you in 2 months become more and more at ease with solitude.
I see this in myself too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought about it today.
Yeah.
I remember like 15 years ago, I moved out of my parents' house for the first time. And I moved into the city where I studied university, and I had my own little apartment. And I couldn't be with myself. It was impossible for me. I remember my first semester at university, I drove home every weekend to my family because I couldn't imagine spending a weekend by myself. And every single night I spent in my little apartment, I had to have plans. And when all my friends didn't have time to do something, I had to ask like people I really like knew. I've just seen them once, and I was like, I texted them like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Can we do something? Because I couldn't stand myself. I couldn't be with myself for even one evening. So in my whole first semester at university, I haven't spent a single evening by myself. And I didn't even think about it. But looking at it now, it's crazy. But then it still took me years, but I started a lot of inner work. And I became more and more comfortable with myself. And it's still like this. It's still work. And this is why sometimes it's so frustrating for me to spend that much time alone. Like, I don't have a problem with the mornings. Mornings are easy for me. I have a lot of things that I like to do in the mornings. I just like morning energy. And I would rather spend a morning by myself than being with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But then as the day goes on and gets long... Yeah. I can sometimes, some days are super easy and some days are a bit more challenging. And yeah, it's what you say. It's feeling all the emotions, all the thoughts coming up, and then you have to work through. And I do it, but being by myself sometimes feels like it's constant work. And now over these 2 months, I realized there's still some challenging days.
Mm-hmm.
But the work I have to do gets lesser and lesser, and there is more enjoyable time, like time that I truly enjoy, and I don't have to work on anything, I don't have to work through something. But yeah, then I think, wow, this is so intense, because now I spent almost 2 months by myself with like no people around. I met you sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I had a guest in the house, but it was mostly time by myself. I mean, how little people have the ability to ever in their life spend 2 months with themselves. Don't have to go to work, don't have any appointments, don't need to meet other people or only meet them like once, twice a week like we do.
Yep.
Like most people will never in their life experience it.
Completely not. Absolutely. It's exactly as you say.
That's so intense.
If you have a job, you simply cannot.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
And when you do, when you have a couple of weeks holiday, it's kind of uncomfortable. There's a period during which, like, you have to acclimate to all this aloneness. Oh my God, you know, I'm supposed to be resting and enjoying myself, like, and you have to think of things to that you can post on Instagram or something to make sure everybody knows and you know, and here's proof that you're having a good time.
Mm. This is such a big thing, to always trying to have a good time. This is also something I thought about today and I've been working on lately, to realize I will not always have a good time. And at the same time, it will be a good time. By accepting what is, it will be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But not like the stereotypical good time of like happiness 24/7. Just sitting there in happiness. Like, this will there will never be a time like this. Like, there will be happy days, there will be happy moments, there will maybe even be happy weeks, but no week is just pure happiness. But it will always be this sort of emotional roller coaster, things coming up and then navigating through.
Yeah. There always will be things coming up, I can confirm that. And yet, you begin to create a space between you and the things that are coming up.
Yeah.
You begin to become the witness of things coming up.
Mm.
Instead of being emotionally involved with them and adding judgment to what's coming up. And it just happens over time, and you suddenly realize that that because you have that slight separation of the observer, that it doesn't impact your mood. Things come up, like I told you, my thinking isn't very clear today. I'm observing it, but it doesn't bug me. It's just another state of mind, and it has its pros and cons.
Let's
get comfortable with not being clear today, Marco.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I think that what we are discussing now is so intimate to the individual process of being alive that sometimes we don't give it sufficient attention. And yet it's an extremely important part of being alive, because what we're talking about is the growth of the self.
Yeah.
And what else is more important?
Yeah, that's true. But it's so interesting to see, like, for me, I can see in my life how much free space I need so that this can even happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've also been growing when I was at university or had a job or whatever, but now that I have so much free space, I made free space, I created it.
Yeah.
There's so much more coming up. There's so much work I'm doing, and there's so much more growth.
Yeah.
And it will never stop.
Now you understand why I came here. To have that space.
It's so interesting, because from the outside, it's like, oh, a man sitting in his house with his chickens and his garden painting all day. But then looking deeper into it, it's like the hardest job. And the most joyful, but it's just, you know, it's an intense experience.
Yeah.
Even though from the outside it looks like the simplest life.
Yeah.
Totally. But this agree. Is what I always realized. The quieter the outside gets, the louder it gets inside.
Yep.
When I did my first Vipassana, I went to a temple in Thailand for 7 days for meditation and silence. And it was so interesting, because it was my first experience like this, being in complete silence and meditating like 10, 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I entered the temple And I was full of thoughts, things that just had happened, the last phone call I received and stuff like this. And my thoughts always circled around this. And then, well, I was meditating and I was clearing the space, but it went back to this. And at some point I had the feeling I've worked through it and I expected there to be silence now. But new things came up. There was like no new information coming in, like nothing was happening in the outside because I didn't talk, I didn't have my phone, I didn't read, I didn't listen to anything. I was just sitting with myself. But then pictures from my childhood came up and situations I've had years ago and people I didn't think of for 5 years came back to my mind. And there was this intense feeling of I have to do something about this now, but I can't. I'm sitting, I have to be in silence and I can't do anything. And then I could also see, oh, if I keep on meditating, it will also go away. And that was such an intense experience. And this was the moment where I also realized it will never be silent. Like, there will always be things coming up, even if there's new information. So I can just focus on what is now, because this thing of remembering and whatever will never stop. And then lately I read this quote and it was a bit harsh to read it, but it said, your brain is not your friend, because it will always tell you bullshit stories and keep you busy.
I agree with that.
What? I have my brain in my head, like it's part of my body and it's not my friend. Why can't it be my friend? But then I also realized, yeah, I just have to learn how to master it in some ways, how to train it, how to use it. I have to be the person telling it what to do. I have to be the person making decisions and learning how to tame it, sort of.
You've probably heard it said often enough, the exhortation or the suggestion that we should live from the heart. And I think that's what it is. The mind needs to be subservient to the heart, not in charge. Because, you know, sometimes the mind panics, makes a plan to sort out the situation. And tell me how many of those plans work out. I mean, seriously, look at the problems we have as a human race right now, and we're trying to tackle them from that perspective, that some genius is going to come up with a plan and then we're going to be okay, we're going to solve that problem, we're going to solve that problem. But what I see is that every problem we try to solve spawns dozens of secondary problems caused by supposed solution. And that we keep complicating the mess by trying to fix it.
Oh my God.
And that is an observation that I make on life in general. That it seems to me that the more we want to save and fix the world, the more we screw it up. And so that's another one of the reasons I came here. And I don't do anything to save the world anymore, which I did. I used to be a major world savior. But I realized many things. One, that the prime motivation very often was fear. In other words, oh my God, our asses are on the line. And if you do anything from that perspective, bound to make a mess. The other thing I noticed was that the mind was convincing me that I had to do something, that it was a responsible thing to do, that if you sit there and you don't do anything, you are, what's the word, guilty by association or something, when it's like when people speak about, you know, why didn't the Germans do something during the Second World War and get rid of Hitler? They should have. They should have. They should have. They should have acted. They should have rebelled. They should have. I think the most effective action is on oneself. Meaning to learn to view and to read my personal spontaneous reactions to a situation. To trace that back to its origin, which is usually my own fears, my own lack of trust, my own, and to draw it back to that, to absorb it, to understand it with compassion, to love it, but not to act externally on the supposed issue or problem. Act on yourself. Act on the emotions that come up because of this, that make you want to do something about it. First, act on yourself. When you've done that, if there's still something left that needs to be done, but usually it's resolved, the issue is resolved magically. But I think at the core of this is a realization that each one of us has so much power. Potential power to transform. It's just that it's not out there that we transform things. It's inside.
Yeah.
It's inside. And from that, when people change, the world will change.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around.
I think so too. I think so too. I think if enough people would do this work, this inner work, focusing on themselves, it could really change something. But I think this is where we sort of disagree. We also talked about it on the first podcast episode, where I have the feeling people doing this is just such a small bubble, like small amount of people. And where you maybe think, no, it's like already such a big movement.
Well, I don't know, because these are the people who don't talk about it. They don't do anything. They don't get to the newspapers. They don't usually do podcasts. some do. I mean, there are some people doing the most beautiful work. Have you heard of Zach Bush?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. I think every time I hear him speak, I learn shit.
Yeah.
Zach Bush. But anyway, he's one of a handful.
I think it's so important that people also talk about it, because I know that I wouldn't have started this path that I'm on if I wouldn't have heard about it from someone. I didn't came up with this idea of, oh, I should sit with myself, I should look into myself. Like, I'm a person, I think some people are like this, they can just come up with things themselves, but I'm not like this. I need external inspiration. I need to hear it from someone. I need to get inspired by someone. I need someone to talk about this so that I can learn from them. And I found podcasts years ago that totally inspired me, and I read books and stuff, because this is the way I learn and this is how I started. And I'm still learning from listening to podcast interviews or listening to other people speak, even if it's only like our conversations that we have in private. This is the inspiration I need to learn about myself and to then go back home and do the work. So I think it's really important that we're not all of us just sitting in our homes doing the work. This is a part, it's important, but it needs a certain amount of people talking about it so that the message can spread, the techniques can spread.
I suppose you're right. But that's something that's impressed me about you, is that you do go home and do something about it.
Yeah.
That, which is the important thing about hearing something, you know, is the inspiration, but then also having the gumption to take it personally and actually do something. And yeah, one of the most impressive things about you is how naturally dedicated you are.
I think for me it's like if there's something that I didn't learn about myself yet, or where I didn't master something, or where I can see that I'm, for example, overreacting in a situation, and then I reflect about it, or I talk to people and we reflect on it together, and then it puts my awareness on it. Because why did I react like this? Because I wasn't aware of something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the moment I have awareness on something that I can work on, I feel like a complete loser if I don't do the work. Like, if I would be in the same situation twice, and mm-hmm. I would realize, oh, I didn't do any work on it, it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like this. It can happen again and again and again, and they mm-hmm. don't care. But this doesn't work for me. Like, if I put my awareness on something, I realize something about myself, and then I don't do the work because I'm lazy or whatever, and then it happens again, I feel so guilty. And I just, if I put awareness on something, I want to get it solved. I want to have it out of my mind. I can't stick with the stuff that I didn't work through yet.
Yes, that's what we were talking about earlier. It's magic that does it. It's not really something you do outside. It's all about consciousness, awareness.
Yeah. Awareness is the
emotion,
most important step.
Thoughts.
Sometimes.
It's all happening inside us.
Yeah.
And so giving it its proper attention is the most generous thing we can do, maybe.
Yeah. I think this is also most of the work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
First, getting aware of something, which is difficult because you need a mirror.
Yeah.
You can't get like aware of it by yourself. Probably you're in a situation and you have a mirror and then you get aware of it. And then, because also a lot of people have asked me, like, what do you mean inner work? Like, what is this work?
Yeah.
And for me, it's just being aware of it and then sitting with it, feeling it. But also doing the shadow work. For me, it's a lot of shadow work. Like looking, what's behind it? Where does it come from? Often behind one emotion is another emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then accept all of it. Like when we were talking about this emotion, like to envy someone, this was such a big thing of shadow work for me. To look at it, where does it come from? And I do it every time it happens. Every time I envy someone, I look at it. Why do I envy this person? Why do I think it's not possible for me to be like this or have this? And where did I learn stuff that is related to it? And I just ask myself all the questions. I get all the answers. And I make peace with this part of myself. And this is the inner work. And now doing it for some years, it doesn't feel that hard anymore. It's more like a natural process. I can realize it's always a different topic, but it's always the same sort of work, the same work cycle. It's always surprising what comes up, but it's always the same cycle I'm doing.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I also learned a lot about this from you. I remember our conversation we had on the beach just a week ago, maybe, where I also talked about emotions, that they can be so intense when I'm by myself. And you said the thing like that you imagine hugging these emotions and loving these emotions and just give every emotion the same amount of love, no matter if it's like a positive emotion or a negative emotion. Just give it love. And I tried this a bit lately, and this is magic.
Yeah, I had a big test about that just a few months ago. When I was behaving like an asshole. And I was aware that I was behaving like an asshole. I was also aware that it was teaching me a lot about myself. And yet I was too confused to actually see what it was teaching me, so I just felt like an asshole. And I had lost, in the intensity of the feeling, I'd lost that gap that allows you to be the unbiased observer and the witness, just completely involved. Marco, you're such an asshole. And I was whipping myself with these feelings. And the moment came when I realized that the Marco that was expressing himself then, the wounded shadow personality that was emerging during that time, wanted to be accepted, needed to be accepted. And that was the one, the only one present who could do that. You know, it's you would like somebody else to do it to you. And usually that's what we long for, somebody else to show me that I'm okay, even though I feel terrible, that I'm okay, that I'm actually all right. But no, it doesn't totally heal until
you
are the one who says, you know, for all your faults, Marco, for all the exaggerations, for all the asshole behavior of the past short while, you're my Marco. You're my vehicle for expression. I don't have a choice. You're my friend, you know, and I love you just the way you are, warts and all. And that's what began the healing process out of it, which was a major cycle of healing for me.
Yeah.
And growth.
Yeah.
But at some point, that moment has to come where you self-accept, self-embrace, realize that you are the love you're looking for. You have to give it to yourself. And without covering up the warts, you know. No, that wart is really weird, Marco, but it's our wart. And it's there. For some reason, it's there. So it's part of us. Got to accept it and embrace it. And then the magic is that sometimes the warts heal because of that moment of acceptance, because of that sustained love current, that some things actually do change inside us and we become less warty, or it seems that way anyway.
That's such a beautiful process.
Yeah. And that's what I think the whole planet Earth is going through right now. There are so many warts that look insoluble, so many wars, so many hatreds, so many... And somehow our judgment is not going to be what heals it.
Yeah,
it's going to be true. Because I managed to have a sense of compassion. For even for that son of a bitch, Trump, who somehow finds himself in this situation. That is horrible. I mean, can you think of a worse job? Oh, my God. He has zero chance of success. Because, you know, he's taken over a situation that is extremely dire and needs a completely different approach, which he can't bring. But his ambition was so great that he took on the job regardless. And he's realizing that he doesn't have a chance in hell of sorting it out. And yes, he's a flawed human being like the rest of us and deserves compassion for being so... Sometimes he makes such a fool of himself. I mean, it's kind of pathetic. And you can say, well, he's got such a thick skin that he doesn't feel it. Oh, he feels it. He feels it. It's tough. Now there's a big meeting going to take place on Friday, tomorrow, in Alaska. Between Vladimir Putin und Donald Trump, the president of the United States, getting together to, I don't know how, what they're going to talk about, but there's some, it's something incredible because they hadn't, they, the president of these two countries have not met for such a long time, that something in my heart says, I don't care what they talk about, I'm just glad that they're going to spend 5 minutes together and hang out with a beer, you know. I remember when the Berlin Wall came down and I was able to meet people from Eastern Europe for the first time. It was so healing.
Mm.
I was so ready to embrace them, and they me.
Yeah.
You know, this, these walls of separation have to come down. Let the love flow.
Let's see what happens.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
I really enjoyed this conversation with you, our second episode.
Damn, yeah, it was good.
That was fun.
I was kind of, I thought my brain is too fuzzed up, but
didn't feel like it.
It was all right.
I think we talked about great topics. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Not sure what the topic was, but it was great.
It was a nice flow.
It was a flow.
We were flowing through this. Thank you so much, Marco, for your time, for being so open in this podcast, for sharing your voice.
Linda, thank you for being so inspiring to have invited me somehow, although you didn't invite me. It was a shared sensing of doing something together. But yeah, you, I felt... I feel very, very privileged. Yeah. Good job, Linda.
Yeah, good job to you too. Okay. Yeah. Hear you in the next episode. Thank you so much for being here, for listening, for sharing this space with us. May these conversations remind you to open yourself to people who are different from you and to discover what you can learn from them. We'd love to hear your thoughts and reflections. Feel free to share them with us. Check the show notes for more about us and join us again for the next conversation.